tonight, I want to hear some testimonies in a short amount of time that we have, because I've asked a young minister, a man of God in training, you might say, but God has anointed his life, and I'm so excited. I pray for him. Pastor Todd's praying for him, and we're wanting to see him raised up, and God is raising him up. Tonight, he's going to share the Word of God with us. So we're going to get doubly blessed if we can do that. But right now, I'd like Paul and Amy to come up here, and Greg and Juliana, would you come on up here, please? And so let's give a hand to these four brave souls. And of course, the theme of the retreat was living water. And I'm sure they could all tell us, but we're going to hear from a few of the youth tonight. Would you come on over here? So just tell us a short overview, and then we're going to let the kids, you can have them come up here. Come on. Tell us what happened.
All right, real quick, just, I've heard it said before, attempt things so big for God that if God doesn't show up, you fall flat on your face. So.
Yeah.
Or yes, same Pastor Dave, no. No, it was a God thing. I mean, it was really moved, and yeah, I don't even, you know, you guys know me. I'm just, you know, read the Bible, you know. You need to hear from the kids and from the young leaders. God really did anoint these guys. And it couldn't have been done any other way, the way that was done effectively, so.
Wow. Notice how red he is. Where are you going, Paul? Stay around.
Yeah, you know, I can't say enough. I mean, God did the whole thing. We're just along for the ride, really. I mean, ride there and all the walking and everything. But the Lord really blessed my life just because of how He just does the whole thing, really, because, you know, normally when we would do something like this, we would want to have to go there and make sure we've seen the whole thing beforehand, but that isn't the way God works. I mean, he'd step out in faith. And, you know, we had so many illustrations there with the water. I mean, we were out in the water. We were doing kayaking, and we were doing, you know, snorkeling, and snorkeling can be kind of, you know, in itself, because you're in water, deep water, and it's, obviously you can't drink it, but I mean, it's getting up your nose and everything else and seawater, but it's just like it's a trust thing. You know, I was telling Juliana, you just got to jump in, and that's kind of like the way it is. And, you know, our Christian walks, you just got to jump in and then once you're out there, even though it's deep and there's a lot of stuff going on, I mean, you're just, it's like it's moving you, you know. It's keeping you afloat, and that's kind of what, like, the Holy Spirit is. It gives you that ability to continue to keep going. So,
okay, let's hear from the women. Come on, give us your perspective.
Yeah, we were thank you, talking. Greg. I was a little nervous about going up. Never done this before. We took a huge amount of people. I think we had 27 total people going to a campground that we've never been to or seen before. So I'm a little nervous about, we had some hurdles to cross, but the Lord was so faithful. It took us, this is how faithful he was, that when we left here at 7 o'clock to get to the Long Beach port, it took us an hour in Monday rush hour traffic. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. And his hand was upon it. Yeah, the whole way, everything he just worked out. And it was really a blessing. It was really neat. I think the kids really enjoyed themselves. I can't wait to hear what they have to say.
Okay, Amy, come on, tell us.
All right. I think one of the blessings for me was watching our college kids, because they've grown up in this ministry, and now to watch them minister to the high schoolers and see how their faith has grown and where their relationship is. It's just, it's an amazing thing to see, and I hope that they're going to share with you. I know Michael is tonight, but I hope the rest of them are going to share a little bit too, because it was just such a blessing.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay, come on. Up here, all of you. Come on. Let's get it going. Let's not waste time. Yeah, the trolley's going to leave if you don't get here. I told them there was a trolley, and they thought they were going to be taking a trolley, but they never went one ride on it. They had to walk back and forth. Come on. Wow. And by the way, we have a video of this retreat too. So you're going to get to see firsthand what they were doing. Okay, come on. So tell us, who wants to be first? Did anybody experience any really thing with God in this whole thing? I mean, I know you had a lot of fun, but anybody really have an experience with God? Okay, tell us. Who? You said, yeah. Okay, Yao's good enough for me. Short. Come on. We want to get more people.
All righty. I felt like I got really close to God during the entire camp trip. Like every morning we'd have devos, we'd go to the camp, we'd go to the campfire, we'd have a, we had these little logs that were, I don't know if they were, but you know, they were telling, like Michael and Schaefer, they had great testimonies, and they were telling us how, like, they're like two roads, and the closer we get to the enemy, the farther we get from God, and how that's it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not good at
this. This gentleman, he swings his arms, and while I'm standing in line, he's hitting me. So you've got to be careful with God, okay? Don't hit God. Okay.
Michael, like, when I was listening to him, he just, like, got into it, and he was, like, really passionate about his speaking, and that, like, really moved me. And Schaefer, he was really deep with his words, like, his backstory and everything, and it pretty much moved me to see how he went from that to godly Schaefer.
Yeah. Amen. Right on. Okay.
During like one of the last teachings, Juliana was like using, I don't know, what's it called when you an analogy about how, like, she's talking about how when she was snorkeling, like she was like hip high with the water, and she was scared to dive all the way in, and she applied that to like our spiritual walk. And so like sometimes we're scared to like dive all the way in, and God's just trying to like pull us into the water because when we can let go. So yeah.
Right on.
I personally really liked Schaefer's message when he taught, because it was all about choices and how big of an effect they can have on your life, and even though you don't realize it, can affect so much that goes on afterwards.
Wow. So. Praise the Lord. Good.
Well, I really liked how Schaefer said that, like, each choice that you make, it depends whether you're going towards God or towards the enemy, and I think it really helped, and now I'll think about the choices that I make.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I personally really liked Juliana's same thing that Kayla was talking about, because it really related to me about, like, diving all the way in and not just slowly making your way.
Praise the Lord. Good.
I really liked Paul's teaching, because I learned that, you know, we don't have to do a bunch of long prayers. We can just do, like, short little prayers throughout the day to help us.
Yeah.
this is going to get your chance.
I'll go. A little, okay. I really had a great time, because I got to really lead the worship in this. We had our afterglow and stuff like that. And and meanwhile, doing that, God really opened my eyes to a lot of, like, worship. And I don't think I'll ever worship the same. Like, we did that song, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, you know. And it doesn't matter, you know, even if 5 minutes ago you're off doing something else, you know, we can choose now. Like, God, I'm going to come back right now to the heart of worship. And just looking at, like, what we sang right now, like, God, I want to know you. I just want to see your face, and I just want to hear your voice. Like, I'll just never look at worship songs the same again. So it was pretty awesome.
Praise the Lord. I didn't get down there. Come on. Let's go. Who wants to share? Nobody? Okay.
The teaching that hit me most was Schaefer's about choices, like Yvonne. It's good to know how much, like, choices are very important, even though if they're small. Like, if I want to go to church instead of do a soccer game, it's a small choice, but it affects your life.
Yeah. You guys are pretty fast.
For me, honestly, the most blissful part of the whole retreat was watching these kids with during the worship, and especially on Tuesday night during the main, I guess, teaching, and then the afterglow, and then having them. Was it great that you asked for the, like, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and having them raise their hands, and the leaders went over and prayed with all the children? That was really such a blessing to have them feel that, and to have them want to feel the Lord and accept the Lord and see the Lord in that way, because I mean, I've been there not that long ago, a couple years ago in high school camp, and you know that when you raise your hand, you're in that moment, and you're in that physical, intimate moment with the Lord, and that's really was such a blessing to see the kids in that intimacy with Him. So.
Wow! Praise the Lord. Okay, now you don't go all the way to the back. Okay, you guys got to fill in here because you've graduated. You're now in this service, and you're going to be teaching tonight, but you got to see this video, so you got to be up close. So fill them in. Come on.
Take it right here, front row, guys.
Yeah, don't be shy. Jump right in. Let's give a big hand for all of these kids, okay? Because I'm telling you, they lost a lot of sleep, but some of them made it up on the boat. I saw going. But nobody could explain the experience, what they went through to do this whole journey. From beginning to end, it was really a godsend, and I'm so proud of them. I was so blessed. I was praying for them continuously, and I thank God for what He's done raising you up. Okay, let's roll that video.
You are mine.
more pictures, but they're going to have to be loaded up on the website. We couldn't get them ready for tonight. But what a blessing, you know, these youth, and they just were amazing, working so hard and walking great distance back and forth and back and forth. But also to hear them is truly a blessing, and to hear what God has done. But I'm so impressed with our leaders in our college-age group and what they have done. I mean, they all work so hard, as was already said. I don't need to repeat that. But what a blessing. But tonight, one of the young men out of the four college group is Gabe and Schaefer, and Myra is Michael. And I wanted Michael to share the word with us tonight, because I just believe God can speak through him for the things that all of us need to hear as well. So let's welcome Michael Conejo as he comes up to share the word of God.
All right. So this is my first time teaching in a setting like this, so y'all have to bear with me if I'm a little bit nervous. Sometimes I speak kind of fast, so if I do, just maybe throw something at me, maybe something soft. But let's go ahead and let's open up with prayer first. So if you guys want to pray with me. Father, I just come before you now, Lord, and I just ask that you just give me peace right now, Lord, and just speak through me, Lord. And I just thank you just for the privilege that you've given me to stand up here in this position, Lord, and be your mouthpiece, Lord. And I pray that I would be just that, Lord, your mouthpiece, Lord. And just whatever you want to say, Lord, just put it in my mind and that I may speak it to these people, Father. And I just pray that we can all just focus on your word, Lord, and just have... Just open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, and just really apply it to our lives, and just give this time up to you now, Father. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading out of John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, we had a really good time at Catalina. That was awesome, because, like they were saying, it really was a God thing. Like, it was something so big, like Paul kept saying, and I've heard it before, it's something so big for God that if God's not in it, you're going to fall flat on your face. And that's just what it was. I mean, was it four youth leaders and taking all these kids over to an island none of us have ever been to? And it was just so awesome that, God had to show up and work. And we got to see him, and providing for us and getting us all there. And it was really an amazing thing. But last night, and I think, was it Tuesday night, we really saw a lot of deers and stuff in our campground and foxes, because there's a drought up there. And so they were coming down to try to find food and stuff like that. And so we'd see them kind of going around in our camping area. And I guess I heard a fox even got two times went into one of our tents or something like that. And so, because, there's the drought, and so they have no food and stuff. And the people, I guess, in the area even put out, like, cat food and water and stuff for them just to feed them. But that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. When we have a drought in our soul and there's an emptiness, a void, where do we go to fill it? Do we go to God, or do we go to the campground of the world or the enemy or something like that? Do we go to the camp of God? Where do we go to fill that emptiness and that void inside of our hearts? When the fight breaks out at the house, when you get the bad diagnosis from the doctor, or you hear the horrible news, where do you go to? Do you turn on the TV, go to the TV, watching some, it'll get my mind off me if I just, maybe watch some soap operas or something like that, or I'll pop in the movie, that'll help get me distracted from what's going on in my life right now. Do you maybe play some video games, go surf the internet, go into Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. I just, got to see my friends are doing it. It'll get my mind off of this, that's troubling my heart, or I'll go to the party. It'll satisfy that need, that hole that I have, just being with my friends, being in that environment, or I'll go have a drink, it'll really just quench that thirst that I have. And that's what I want to talk about. Or you go to God. And so I want to go ahead and read out of John chapter 4. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and look there with me now, starting at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus did not baptize, his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was the sixth hour. Now we see here Jesus is passing through Samaria, which was, we might say the world, wasn't Israel or Judah. He's going through the world, and he stops by a well. Something that's kind of interesting, I like here, it says, Jesus grew tired, and so he wanted to rest. you know, a lot of times I know some people say that if you're on fire with God, you're walking right, you're never going to get sick, you're never going to get tired or any of that. But I don't know if any of us can argue that Jesus wasn't walking right, and here we saw that he got tired, you know. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's midday here, and Jesus is here at the well. And looking at verse 7, it says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drinks from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' And then Jesus answered her and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who you say to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?'" I think that's like us all too often. You know, God tells us what he wants to do, and we're like, "Really, God, how are you going to do that? You don't have a bucket, you know. How are you going to get all of us over to Long Beach in 2 hours going through Monday morning LA traffic? Is that even possible? You know, God, how are you going to do this? This is what you're calling me to, but let's get practical, God. How are we going to do this? You know, he might show us the next step he wants us to take, but I think all too often we limit God by what we think he can do. We tend to look at the circumstances and the giants in our way than rather than looking at our Jehovah. You know, we kind of doubt all too often. And so looking now at verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." And then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me the water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And then Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husbands and come here, your husband and come here." And the woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." I think it's kind of interesting here. As you look at this, you know, we see the progression in this woman as she realizes who Jesus is. First, she says, "You know, why do you speak to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." And then, as he begins to speak to her, she calls him "Sir." You know, realizing, "Oh, this isn't just some random Jew off. You know, he's somebody of importance." Or, you know, "I really like what he has to say." So she starts referring to him as "Sir." And then here, as he calls out that, you know, "Hey, you've said rightly. You know, you don't have a husband. You have five, and the one who you're with now is not even your husband." Then she calls him a prophet. And later on, as we'll see, she'll end up calling him, realizing that he is the Christ. And so there's this progression. And I think that's kind of the way God works in all of us. He wants to continue to reveal himself more and more unto us. But what happens is, I think we tend to fall into the same tendency of this woman. She says, she gets in this debate with him. She says, "Well, where should we worship? Should we worship up on the mountain or over in Jerusalem?" And, you know, a lot of times when God begins to reveal to us who he is and stuff like that and starts calling us, we tend to have these dumb little questions that we go back and forth with, like, "Well, did Adam have a belly button? You know, where did Cain get his wife? You know, or can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it?" Or, you know, maybe one that I heard is, you know, "If you trust God so much, you know that he's in control, then why do you even look both ways before you cross the street? Or why do you wear a helmet when you ride your bike?" You know, just all these dumb little questions like that. And that's how we get caught up with a lot of times, and I find that happening in myself too, you know. As God begins to continue to reveal himself, and we get hung up on these dumb little questions that really just have no significance to anything. There's a quote that I really like. It says, it's by John Corson. He says, you know, "Don't sacrifice what you do know on the altar of what you don't know." You know, there might be little things that we get hung up on here and then that we don't completely understand. You know, the Bible says that we at best see through a glass darkly. So on this side of eternity, we're never going to fully understand and be able to comprehend everything. You know, our minds are just a little too limited for that. You know, we live in a fallen world, and, you know, I can agree, I have probably a puny brain too. You know, we can't really fully capture God. You know, if God was small enough for us to understand, I don't think he'd be big enough for us to worship. So don't sacrifice, just because you don't get these little things, you know, like, "Okay, did Dad have a belly button?" It's no reason to sacrifice everything that you do know just because you don't understand one tiny little principle. And so this woman begins to get in this debate with him, you know, where do we worship God? And I like Jesus' reply a lot in this. He says, Jesus said to her, in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such who will worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we take a look at that, you've got to worship God in spirit and truth. And it sounds kind of a bit ominous. Like, what does that mean? We've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he's kind of thinking about it. It's actually really quite simple. You know, what is spirit? You guys think, like, when you guys go to football games or basketball games, or, you know, people out there in the pews, think back maybe 2 years ago when you guys were in high school, I know. Maybe three for some of you. No, but just think back and you look at the, you know, you go to the games, you have the cheerleaders on the side. You know, we have spirit. Yes, we do. We have spirit. What about you, you know? And so, you know, it's about spirit, having that excitement that, yeah, we're here to worship and praise and honor God, and just having that passion inside of your heart. Like, I mean, this isn't a funeral. We should be excited. We're going to heaven, you guys. Everything we've ever done wrong is just forgiven and wiped clean. You know, it's just, how can we not be excited about this? You know, the God of the universe knows our name personally. You know, he died for each and every single one of us. You know, the Old Testament talks about how when they made sacrifices, they didn't just slit the lamb's throat and say, you know, God, forgive me my sins. They had to name the sins specifically. And so when Jesus died, he had to think of your sins specifically at that moment. You can't just say, you know, I die for the sins of the world. He had you on his mind. And he's had you. And he was thinking about the sins that you were going to commit before you even did. And he still chose to die for you. The God of the universe. Like, how does that not make you excited and passionate and give you such spirit? And then it says we also have to worship him in truth. We have to make sure what we're doing is in the Bible. Stick to the Bible. And there are kind of extremists, as I've seen on both points, on the spirit and on the truth side. But by this I'm saying, you know, we have people who are in the spirit and they're just so excited in worship and they just start doing all these weird things that aren't even in the Bible, start flopping on the ground and falling down backwards. And, you know, you say, hey, where is that in the Bible, though? Can you show me in the Bible where that's at? You know, and they go, oh, we don't know. We're just so in the spirit. You know, we just started doing it. You know, we're just falling down. And that's not how it's supposed to be, you know. And then you got to have the truth in it, too. But then on the other hand, you have the people who are in the truth. And it's great to be in the truth, the Bible, but they're so stuck in the truth that they're right, but they're dead right. You know, they're just, you know, they're sitting there in worship like they're in a funeral service and there's no excitement. They're so, well, is it okay if I jump around? Let me see, is there a verse? Is it okay if I dance a bit? Well, David did, but that was Old Testament. Can I do that? You know what I mean? It's okay, you gotta have that, find that balance in between there. You know, it's okay to get excited and praise God. And yeah, and so as they continue, you know, so I really like the spirit and truth. That's something that God's been showing me a lot lately, kind of, you know, it's okay to be, we should be excited, you know, we're going to heaven. And so the woman said to him, I'm going to go back at verse 25 now in our passage. It says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So Jesus here at this moment reveals that, you know, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ. And as this woman keeps seeking and questioning him, he reveals to her who he is. And that's kind of how it is with God, as we keep asking. You know, it says ask, seek, knock. If you translate it, it's actually like keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, you know. I remember like a year and a half ago, you know, I prayed to God, like, God, just give me wisdom. And he showed me, you know, a verse in Proverbs that says, you know, if you ask for wisdom, search for it like if you lose, you know, like money in your house. You know, if you guys lose your phone in your house, you know, you guys freak out, start looking under the cushions, you know, going searching the back of the fridge, you know, you can turn the whole house upside down looking for it. When we ask for wisdom for God, that's the way we should be. We should be going back and forth everywhere in here, praying, worshiping, you know, just really searching for it, not expecting him to just, you know, supernaturally just, you know, clouds part, you know, Johnny, this is what you should do, you know, type of a thing. Like, no, you know, we really got to search and go through his word and with excitement and passion and just really, you know, be motivated to really, you know, seek for what we're asking and keep knocking. And that's what this woman does, is she's having this discussion with him. She begins to realize more and more who Jesus is. First she sees he's a Jew, and then she starts calling him sir, and then a prophet, and then the Christ. And but what I really want to talk about, you know, the main focus, I kind of wanted to break down that section for you, but is, you know, where do you go when you're thirsty? When there's a lacking in your soul, when you feel like you just don't have that fulfillment, you know, that joy that you once have. You know, you say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know, I used to be really happy, or maybe you've never even felt that at any point. You know, you've just been kind of in the world a little bit. You know, not maybe even totally involved in sin, but, you know, you're just not totally hot with God. You're not totally into the world either, but you just feel like there's a lacking, you know. I'm just not happy. You know, people always talk about, you know, this joy of the Lord and, you know, and all this stuff, but I just don't have that. You know, I go through the day, it's like I'm just kind of going through the motions every single day. All right, it's Sunday, go to church, got to do my checklist, read my Bible, check, you know, I came to Wednesday night Bible study, check, went to the retreats, check, but it's just not really satisfying or doing anything to me. And this woman, she came in the afternoon, and the reason why she came was because of her reputation. She wouldn't have wanted to come at the same time as the other women. They would have come in the morning and the evenings when the sun was, you know, cooler. But she came in when no other woman would be there. But I've kind of noticed that when I speak to Jesus most intimately is when I come to him, you know, not necessarily just when everyone is. Although he does so much in the temple here and in church, but it's not just when everybody's coming to church or just everybody's coming to Wednesday night or everybody's going to camp retreat. But when I sit there, you know, he'll wake me up at 3 in the morning and I just start searching the scriptures. Or my morning devotionals, or I'll come home, it'll be late, and I'm just tired from a long day, but I say, you know what, no, I need to keep this habit. I got to stay in God's Word, and I just open it up on my own time, you know, just sacrificially. It may be hot, and I'm tired, and nobody else is doing it, so why should I? But we decide to do it anyways. That's when Jesus can really speak to us most intimately. With a great sacrifice comes great power, and so as we begin to, you know, really sacrifice, you know, our own time, that's when God really, at least in my own life, I can say, has really spoken to me a lot. And, you know, I think there's two groups of people I'm going to kind of get into. People who, you know, are hurting and thirsting and they're going to the wrong place, and people who aren't thirsting, you know, really at all. They just feel like, I'm okay right now. And I suggest to you the reason is because, you know, like if you guys have kids or if you guys are kids, your parents say to you, you know, it's getting close to dinner, can I have some snacks and have some chips? You say, no, you're going to spoil your appetite. And I think all too many of us are spoiling our spiritual appetites. You know, we're filling ourselves with the world. You know, we watch a little bit of this TV here, listen to this radio talk show over here. You know, I'll just watch this movie or listen to this music. You know, it's not that bad. It sounds pretty cool after all, you know. And we get spoil our appetite. You know, but if you just live off of like candy and stuff that seems sweet to the taste and good, you're going to be very, very, very malnourished, and you're going to, you know, not going to be doing so well. And same too by us filling up on all this other worldly stuff that seems sweet, you know, immediately, you know, you're going to be malnourished and you're not going to be strong. And it's going to end up, you know, you're not going to be strong. And because you're getting all filled up on that stuff, you're not hungering for the Word. You say, well, like, I don't really want to go to church, but I guess I should, you know. It's not like when you first got saved and, oh, yes, it's Sunday tomorrow. I can't wait to get up and go to church, or I can't wait to go sing, or, oh, I can't wait to get into my Bible. It's not like that anymore, you know. We spoil our appetites on the things that the world's distracted us with, and we don't have that hunger anymore. And then the other group of people, the people who are hurting, and I know there's a lot of hurting hearts out there as I've spoken to people going through trials and tough times and stuff I'm sure I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even, you know, relate to some of the problems that I know some of you guys have been going through. And, you know, we try to go to other places to try to heal our hearts. We go, like I said earlier, you know, we think if we go hang out with friends, you know, they'll help heal our hearts, or if we go to that concert, or, you know, that whatever, that musical, that'll, you know, kind of help mask the pain. And or if you, you know, we go to the party, or, you know, you do all this stuff, that'll help. In the Old Testament, the word for atonement, okay, I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar, I'm not going to pretend to be, but the word in the Old Testament in Hebrew, I think it's a kapar, and what it means is covering, you know, atonement, you know, Christ's blood is our atonement for our sins, you know, it's a covering of our sins. And the New Testament word, it means a cleansing, a washing. So we have these hurting hearts, and we come to all these other things, but, you know, like the world, but all it is a covering. It masks our hurt, our heartache, but it doesn't work. Only Jesus can truly cleanse and heal our hearts and all of that and get that dirt out of there. It's only Jesus that can do that when you come to him. You know, all these other things, you know, they may seem like they're helping for a time, but at the end of the day, you know, after you've done the dance to get the hug, and after, you know, you've done everything that the world told you to do, and, you know, in order to get all that it promised you, you just, you know, you go home and you're alone in your bed or, you know, alone in your house. And you're just, you know, okay, when's the next gathering going to be? You know, you wake up and your friends aren't there next to you anymore. And, you know, you think, man, okay, you start texting people, what's going on today? You know, because you already feel that lack again. You know, you, like Jesus said here in John, in our passage, he says, you know, if you go to these other waters, you know, you will thirst again. You're going to thirst again. It's going to leave you feeling dry. It's like we went to the ocean, right, and there was salt water there. If you start drinking the salt water, it's going to make you thirstier. It's only the fresh water that can truly quench your thirst. And the world will only leave you thirstier and thirstier. It's not going to really quench that thirst. You know, it promises you so much, like Schaefer was talking about. It promises you happiness and joy and riches and pleasure and all this stuff. But it's all just lies. It leaves you feeling like empty and suicidal and depressed and just wanting more with lacking. It's like, you know, we had our campfire, you had that fire, and you have to keep adding more and more wood because it begins to die out, you know? And that's like sin. It just keeps demanding more and more wood, but all it does is consume it. It's never satisfied. It just keeps demanding more and more from you, you know? And it just leaves you thirsty and dry and dehydrated and faint and just wishing you had more. But if you come to Jesus, you know, if you drink from His, you'll never thirst again. He loves you. Get that into your head. Jesus, God, loves you. You know, people might think you're nothing special, but Jesus thinks that you're to die for. You know, He really loves you so much. And He wants our heart. You know, I was talking about that song, you know, coming back to the heart of worship, I realized that's what God's really after. He's not after our, you know, although I'm sure He loves our beautiful, you know, music and instrument playing and, you know, the lights and all of that, you know. I think He enjoys our worship here just as much as He enjoys some big, like, Hillsong or Mercy Me concert, because it's just about the heart. That's what He's really after. He just wants your heart, and He just wants to love you and make you feel more loved than you've ever felt before, and He wants to fill your life with so much joy. He doesn't want you to be hurt. That's why He's calling out to you. He says, all you who are weary, all you guys who are tired and you feel burdened and heavy laden, you feel all this world just pressing down on you. He says, come to Me and I will give you rest. Come to Me and I will give you rest. That's what God wants for your lives. You know, and the world lies to us and tells us, no, holiness is boring. You don't want to be part of that. God doesn't want you to have any fun. I know I shared this, but I'll say it again if you guys need to hear it again. But holiness equals happiness. You know, holiness and happiness go proportionally in the same direction. You know, a lot of happiness or a lot of holiness, you're going to have a lot of happiness. Limited holiness, you're going to have a limited amount of happiness. You know, Hebrews talks about how Jesus, because He hated evil, He was anointed above all with all else with the oil of gladness. He was the happiest guy, that so much that people just left their jobs, their nets, their tax business just to follow Him because they want to know, what makes this guy so happy? You know, I want that for my life. And I bet you there's people here who want that for their lives too. You know, I'm going to work every day. It's just the same thing over and over again. I'm just going through the motions and it's really just wearing me out. You know, the gears turning and turning and turning. I just want this happiness, you know, and that's where holiness comes in. Don't get all involved and mixed in the sin and what this world has to offer. You know, I wasted 20 years in the world. I don't need to waste any more time, you know. I know for some of you guys might be like, that's nothing, but I don't know. For me, that's all. That's like 99% of my life. I just, you know, and I'm like, man, I could be so much further ahead if I would have only started when I was younger. And yeah, I came to church and you know, I sat where you guys were, I sat in the pews and stuff like that. And I went to all the events and I went to I don't think I ever missed a single camp or retreat. I went to every single one, but it just never really hit my heart. Like I knew it all up here. You know, they say people miss heaven by 18 inches. It's from the distance from your head to your heart. You know, do you really believe it in your heart? Is it something that just drives you every single day? You know, are you just loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength? Like every day, all you ever think about is God and what you can do for Him and for His kingdom and just how much He loves you and you're just loving Him. I love David. You know, I'm sure he's a lot of your guys' favorite characters too. He just had such a love for God. You know, he wrote poems for God. You know, he loved God so much, it wasn't enough just for him to worship Him with what he had. He created instruments to worship God. He just has such a love and passion for God, and he seems like such a happy guy. You know, he has his son rebelling against him, and the king's out to get him, and you know, throwing spears at him, but he still, you know, praise God. And he can't seem to beat him down. When I was a kid, I had this little like inflatable, it was like an inflatable person. It had a net in the middle. You could throw a football at him. Once I grew that, they'll like to use it as like a punching bag. So I'd hit this thing and I'd just kind of like sit there in my room, fight it and stuff like that. But it seemed like the harder and harder I hit it, just the quicker it bounced back up and bounced back up. And that's what we got to be like, you know? As the enemy hits us and starts throwing blows at us, the harder he hits us, the harder we got to bounce back up and be ready to take another one. You know, and as you love God, that's how you be. It's like the enemy can't keep you down. And the harder he hits you, the quicker and faster you bounce back up. And so I just really want to encourage you guys just to really come to God. Don't waste time, you know, in the world. You know, I know Moab is, you know, type of the world, and God declares in Psalms, you know, Moab is my washpot, you know, and as you're in or toilet bowl, you know, as you're in the world, you're just swirling around, you know, just going and your life's just going down the drain, just going in circles. I don't know why I just thought of that, but it's kind of a random thing. Okay, Lord. All right. But I don't know, as I kind of begin to draw to a close, I just really want to just kind of, this is kind of towards the kids, but I mean, I think we can really all gather something from this, you know. I mean, we're at this retreat off on this island, and we had a great time, you know, not just fun, but spiritually. You know, we got into God's word every morning, you know, we worshiped, and we were with people who had the same motivation, and the same, you know, we're like around like-minded people. But as now we're getting ready to go home, you know, we've been at this retreat, but our families weren't at that retreat. You know, our friends weren't there. You know, God was doing a work in us, but he wasn't necessarily doing a work in everywhere else, you know, like he was doing with us. So as you go back, it's going to be very easy for you to settle back in your old ways. You know, I know you guys have your phones again. You guys got them all charged up, I know. So, but I'm sure you've already been texting some of your friends, going through Instagram and Twitter, and it's just the way you guys left it, right? And it's going to be so easy for you just to, all right, I'm back, now get back into the same rut you guys were in. But that's not what God wants for you. He brought you to Catalina, not just so you can kayak and so you can go snorkeling. That's what it's about. I wouldn't have taken time off to go. I went to go hear what God had to say to me and to us and to be used by God. Because God wants to do something new in us. He wants to, the Bible says, bring us from glory to greater glory. He wants to continue to build us and make us better and better and better. Like I shared with you guys, ultimately, Jesus is our example. Can any of us honestly raise our hand and say, yep, I'm up to the same par and level as Jesus? Exactly. So the work here on this planet is never going to stop. You know, that's what sanctification is. It's the process by which God, you know, continues to make us better and better and better. And he wants to make us the best, you know, you, the best you that you can be. And so I want to encourage you guys, don't get back in that same rut. You know, I look at I know a lot of you guys know the Jonah, you know, he has a whale of a story to tell us. But, you know, God was calling him to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a really wicked town, you know, with worldly people. And Jonah didn't want to go because, you know, he said, oh, those are, you know, he wanted them judged because they were evil people. You know, and he knew that God is, you know, a God of love. You know, he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. So he wanted to go the opposite direction. So he went down to the port at Joppa. And when he got there wanting to go the opposite direction from God, there was a boat there waiting in the dock for him. You know, and he took off and went down the opposite direction. You know, as we're coming back here, you know, God, I'm sure, is calling you guys to do something. He's calling you to be different. He's telling you guys all something that he wants for you. And we have a choice. Are we going to go where God tells us to go? Or are we going to start to go the opposite way? And I'm telling you, if you decide to go to the dock, there's a boat ready for you. You know, Satan, he's ready for you. He wants to pull you away. Jonah didn't go there and they're like, oh, hang on, you want to go away from the opposite direction from God's telling you? Hang on, let's get a boat, can I get a crew over here? No, the boat's up with sails ready to go. And if you even let that thought of compromise settle in your head, you're already starting to lose the battle. The Bible says take every thought captive. Don't even let those thoughts settle in your heart because those thoughts will sink down to your heart and that affects your actions, you know? And if you sow a thought, then you're going to reap an action. And if you sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you're going to reap a lifestyle. And it's just going to continue to bring you further and further away from God. You know, we talked, Schaefer was kind of talking about these two paths that go opposite directions. And as you begin to go walk towards the world, God gets further and further away. But it's also that much harder now to go back to the world or back to God because you've gone farther and farther away. You know, you guys, through this camp, God's brought you closer to him. You know, he's trying to bring you out of the world. So don't go back to it. He's trying to protect us. You know, like I shared, I was talking about, you know, we had that campfire and you know, there was the fire in the middle. And I said, you know, if I told Jordan, you know, don't grab this log, it's not because I don't want them to have fun. I'm trying to protect them, and you know, I don't want them to get burned. And that's what sin, you know, sin. That's what sin is. Sin isn't bad because God forbids it. God forbids sin because it's bad, and He knows it'll hurt us. You know, that fiery log is hot all along, and I'm telling Jordan because I'm trying to protect him. And like I kind of shared, you know, it might seem kind of cool, like, oh, it'll be really cool though. Get some awesome pictures of me holding the log. You know, everybody will think I'm really cool. You know, do it for the vine. You know, I'll get 1,000 likes on Instagram. You know, it'll be awesome. But no, you know, sin tries to tempt us. It has to look good. Just you know, sin has to look good in order to hide the fact that it's going to destroy you. So I just really want to warn you guys, you know, as we're going back home now, you know, we're not going to be necessarily around all of us, you know, for those solid, you know, was it like 52 hours or whatever that we were together. You're going to have people, you know, there's going to be darkness around us closing in. But don't, this is something that I love that I always heard in high school, you know, don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. What does a thermometer do? It takes the temperature, right? And a thermostat sets the temperature for the room. You know, don't be a thermometer and, okay, well, I'm back home now. I'm back around, you know, my same friends. All right, now I'm going to go back, you know, just take the temperature. What do you guys, want to go watch that movie that we shouldn't? Okay, yeah, let's go do it, you know. Or you guys want to joke about inappropriate subjects like this? Okay, yeah, you know, you guys, you know, or you guys all want to go out, you know, clubbing or whatever? Yeah, let's go, you know, just take the, you know, yeah, just kind of take the temperature and merge in with them. But rather be a thermostat, you know, say, you know what, guys, you know, take a stand. Say, I'm not going to do that. I can't, you know. Why don't we go watch this movie instead? Or you know, you can still joke about other stuff. Like last night, I mean, because we're really tired, but all the leaders, you know, we were sitting around talking, and we were just laughing hysterically. Like we were crying, just laughing. And we're just talking, I don't know, we're just probably more tired than loopy than anything, but we're just talking about, you know, it was just fun. But anyways, you don't have to joke about these, you know, perverted things in order to be funny, you know. God, I definitely believe God has a sense of humor. I mean, He's not sitting up there, you know, you know, what do you think they're laughing about down there, you know? No, he has a sense of humor. You know, God created all these emotions, but it's the enemy that tries to twist and pervert them. You know, so don't get caught up, you know, like I was saying, don't you know, be a thermometer, be a thermostat. Set the tone, set the temperature for your group, you know. Be the light in the darkness, you know. Keep pushing back the dark. Don't compromise and let the dark, you know, swallow you in, you know. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. You know, one that I heard a lot, you know, and I probably even used when I was your age, you know, but, well, that's just the way times are today. You know, people are like this. This is just the way, you know, we do things nowadays, you know. You know, Paul, meet Paul, Amy, you know, Greg, maybe back in when the dinosaurs were around, I would say, you know, we do things that way. But this is the way, just the way things are today. You know, this is how we do things. You know, this is just our society. But we're not supposed to be conformed to the world. That's just it. You know, we're not supposed to, if we look like the world, then there's something wrong. We're supposed to be separate, you know? And I kind of talked about that. You know, we're not supposed to look like the world. We're supposed to be different. If you look at our Instagrams, we're not supposed to look the same as the world. If you look at our Facebook posts, it shouldn't look like people who are out in the world. You know, what we do, what we wear, how we talk, the jokes that we make, the music we listen to, we're not supposed to look like the world. We're not of this world. We're from heaven. Our citizenship isn't here. We're from heaven, so we should look like the people in heaven, angels, God. You know, all the people who went before us, Abraham, you know, David, and all those people. That's what we should look like. We're not supposed to look like the world. So I don't want to hear that excuse again. So I used it, so, you know. But I don't know, I just really want to encourage you guys. Just, you know, when you get back, that boat's going to, there's going to be an opportunity to compromise. You know, after every mountaintop high comes, you know, comes a valley low in which God's going to the enemy's going to try to get you to fall. You know, and Paul said this, there's going to be a stone in your path. Don't let it be a stumbling stone, but rather let it be a stepping stone to get you to a higher and newer level in your walk with God. And so I just, really from the bottom of my heart, just want to plead with you guys, just don't compromise. You know, you will never, never, ever, ever regret choosing holiness. You know, and if this is, I don't know, who knows what might happen, but if this is the last time I ever get to talk with you guys, you know, I just want to tell you, two things. One, just love God. And two, just be holy. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Just, Father God, we just thank you just for bringing us all out here, Lord, and just for the work that you've begun, not just that you did, but that you're beginning and you're going to continue to do in every single one of us, Lord. And I just pray that we would just continue to seek you daily, Lord, that we wouldn't settle where we are or ever say, you know, just settle where we are in our walks, Lord, but that we would continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper till the day we go to be with you, Lord, that we would never settle. And Father, I just pray for all the kids who were there, Lord, and just everyone in this church, Lord, that you could just really start a fire in our hearts, Father, for you, Lord. Just ignite a passion to where we just don't know what's in us. You know, we just run and drive and sprint to you in all that we do. You know, we just want to see your face, and we just want to hear your voice, and we just want to touch you and just be with you, Lord. We just want to, you know, save other people too. You know, those people around us, our friends, our family. You know, we want to ignite something in us that we just want to bring them to heaven with us, Father. Just start a fire in our hearts, Father. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Michael, for delivering that word from the Lord. You know, and even as Jesus told that woman, you mentioned about choices, and it really is very simple. It boils down to a choice. We all make a choice every moment of what we're going to do and how we're going to respond. And he told that woman, he said, that the water that I have will be in you, and it'll be like a well. It'll spring up. It'll just kind of gush out. And the point is that, as Michael shared with us, we can choose to allow God to spring up in us that living water that will touch people's lives. And there's a dead kind of water that is no good at all. And he spoke about that in another term, about the bad choices. But that water, you can't survive on it. You can't live on it. You'll die. But then there's that living water that brings life. Life evermore. Please stand. And I thank you, Father, for what you've done in this word tonight. And I thank you for what you've done in my young brother. God, that you would continue your work in him. And I thank you for it all. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for all the leaders and all of those who participated and all of those who, as parents, made it possible for their youth and kids to just be a part of this. Thank you, God. You're such a great God and greatly to be praised. And you do love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a closing song?